Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Bitcoin Magazine Twitter Spaces. Looking forward to chatting again today. I'm your host Spencer Nichols, and I'm joined by our guests D, Alan, as well as John Romano from Nitro Betting. Good space we got lined up today. I think y'all are going to like this one. We're doing something called the Bitcoin Halving Challenge. You're going to learn a little bit more about it, but it's a way for people who guess the price of Bitcoin at the halving to have the opportunity to win one Bitcoin in prizes. So pretty exciting there. But yeah, without further ado, how's everyone doing today? D, Alan, and John, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. It's a pleasure to be here and love seeing all the engagement, all the people joining.
Of course.
Yeah, good. I was going to say, good day to kick this off with a little bit of volatility now to the upside. Just makes this challenge a little bit more tricky right now in terms of where's the number going to lie?
We're going to a million. That's all I got to say. 42K now. Couldn't be more bullish.
Cool. I like it. I like the bullishness. Yeah. And I think that's something we're going to talk a little bit about today is, you know, where do people think it's going to go? I think something that's cool with running the Bitcoin Halving Challenge thus far is, you know, we're seeing these guesses roll in and seeing odds on where people think the price is going to line up at the halving. But kind of before we do that, I want to give you the opportunity just to tell our audience a little bit more about Nitro Betting. I know when we met with y'all at Bitcoin Amsterdam, there's kind of a connection there. And kind of Nitro's use of Bitcoin certainly caught our eye. So yeah, we just kind of want to give you a chance to maybe tell everyone a little bit more about yourself and your work at Nitro, and then maybe a little bit more about just kind of the company and its use of Bitcoin.
No, that's fantastic. No, thank you, Spencer. So, you know, first of all, it's a pleasure to be here. And I think on behalf of the company, this has been a great partnership. We love Bitcoin, and we love obviously the Bitcoin Halving contest and being the sponsor for it. Me personally, I'm the director of operations for Nitro, and I think it was just kind of like kismet that we merged for this contest. But Nitrogen, just to give everybody in the audience a little bit of a background, we were the first Bitcoin sportsbook going back to 2012, when really there was no platform. We were just starting off as far as a business. We were Nitrogen Sports at the time. And it wasn't really until the addition of BTC, I would say in the fall of 2013, that's where we saw the company start to take off. We were seeing the activity that Bitcoin had created. And really at that time, we just went all in. Obviously, that required a redesign of the whole platform to fully run on Bitcoin. And obviously it was a major stroke of luck, you could say, some would say genius, that basically to run the operation on a Bitcoin standard, that meant that we had all customer balances and all of our reserves in BTC. And that was for the previous 11 years. And I can still proudly say that we still do settle at the end of the day, in Bitcoin. But you can obviously say and assume those players that came on board early on, they obviously, you know, were helped both by the rise of Bitcoin. So their balances went up as well, obviously, and we profited from that as well as a business. So, again, going strong, we did decide to change because we evolved as a company, right? We were not just Nitrogen Sports. We offer a poker room, and we added on a full casino. Currently, you know, we're actually even adding on now over 2,000 games in our casino. So we wanted to have a name that went with casino betting as well as the poker players. So that's when we converted to Nitro Betting. And basically, it's been a smooth ride since. We're really excited about this partnership. Looking forward to giving out that money to the winners in the prize pool. But that's a little bit of our background. Yeah, that's a little bit about Nitro.
Awesome. Thanks for sharing. And I just kind of want to like touch on that point a little bit again. Like, it sounds like Nitro was just like super early to Bitcoin and like had the foresight or balls to just like go all in on it, which is like, you know, you don't hear that every day. And so like with that, you said that was what, 10 years ago?
In 2012. So actually 12 years ago.
Wow. That's incredible.
Yeah. I mean, I think that, you know, this was a true startup, when I truly mean true startup. I mean, this was just a couple of guys programmers and engineers had a vision of what possibly could happen with Bitcoin, but that wanted to have a sports book, you know, that just operated on Bitcoin alone. And again, nobody else was doing this at the time. I personally remember back in 2014, 2015, as people were using it as a payment method in the industry, but not to fully run deposits, payouts only with Bitcoin. And that's what made Nitrogen special. It still is what makes Nitrogen special, because if you go in, you know, we're in that niche. And if you go to place a bet, you're betting it in MBTC. We've changed that, right, to millibitcoin, just to make it easier for the customer to convert it. But if you're playing in the casino, for example, and you're spinning the slots, it shows your balance, but it also shows the amount you're betting in MBTC. So we've stayed true to Bitcoin. Obviously, we're evolving as things go over the years. Now, in this, you know, 13th and 14th year, we're adding, you know, a couple more deposit options. But in the end, everything settles in Bitcoin. That's how we pay people, and that is how it's shown on the site. So we're proud of that.
Yeah, hey, I think you should be.
John, I just had a real question, a quick question, because you mentioned 2012 is when you guys got rolling, and that actually, I think, that was a year after what they kind of described as Black Friday for online poker, when online poker was banned in the U.S. And it's funny because there are a lot of parallels between Bitcoin and gambling, like early gambling. I mean, a lot of, especially OG Bitcoiners, were just poker players. And Bitcoin, you know, nobody was thinking about a lot of things that we sort of think about Bitcoin today as, you know, sort of this freedom money, you know, this sort of censorship resistant money. It was really just kind of like, hey, this is the only thing I can use right now to do what I used to do. So I'm just curious, you know, you guys started up in 2012. What was that, the impetus, really, you know, coming off the heels of that online poker ban in the US, and you just had all this, you know, demand that was scattered to the wind?
That's a great question. I mean, so for me personally, you know, I've been in the industry now for over almost 20 years. So I pre-Bitcoin and post, I agree with you on your observation on Black Friday. I think that definitely had something to do with it. Definitely the poker players were the catalyst. But I think, again, it came on, it gained its popularity and took off in, I would say, 2013 into 2014. And I saw it become more obvious in 2015 as a payment method, just a way to get people their money. And let's be honest, right? You know, most companies, you're going to get a processing fee. If you're going to deposit, let's say with a credit card, they're going to charge you a fee. If you're going to withdraw and you're going to have the money sent to your bank account via ACH, there's going to be a 15, 20% fee charged on top of your winnings. But with Bitcoin, and why people fell in love with it and why it grew, is that, you know, in the operators in this industry, we did not have to charge any fees. We were sending this money to you without any fees. And that's what people loved. And so I think that's why it's not going to go anywhere. I think Bitcoin just stays relevant for that reason alone. But I hope that answers your question. I think I definitely agree that the poker players were the catalyst for this.
Yeah, I mean, just to give you like an actual testimonial, you know, every Bitcoiner, right, has their sort of origin genesis story, how they got into Bitcoin, and why I'm really excited to talk to you today. And I'm really excited about, you know, a book like Nitro Betting is that's my origin story. I was just, you know, regular guy that liked to bet on football games. I was living in Chicago at the time. So I would use offshore sports books. And, you know, that was never really a difficult thing to do, until, you know, your credit card processor starts declining those charges. And then even your own receiving bank, when you withdraw and, you know, an offshore book would send you a check, they wouldn't cash those checks anymore. And I was just like in limbo. And the only payment of last resort that I saw on this particular site I was using at that time was Bitcoin. And so I actually got into Bitcoin very begrudgingly. I was like, oh, I guess this is the only thing I can do. And this was early 2017. I think it was after the Super Bowl. And it's pretty funny, when I withdrew the amount and I got the Bitcoin, and smart thing I did was I didn't do anything with it. I was like, well, football season's coming again here in August, September. I'm going to need this Bitcoin, I guess, as my sort of like betting currency. So I'm going to leave it alone. And I probably made more, because this was early 2017, probably made more in the appreciation of it sitting there than I ever had in my cumulative time, you know, sports betting previously. So that was really my light bulb moment of like, okay, why is this thing going up? And wait a minute, why am I so dismissive of this thing when it was something I needed? It wasn't something that, you know, I was just like buying because I was chasing, you know, some gains off in the cloud. It was like, it was a payment method of last resort. Truly, it was the only thing I could use. And so that alone is what kind of kicked off my whole sort of, you know, the rabbit hole story that everybody has. But yeah, that's why, like I said, super excited to talk to you today, because I think Bitcoin as a sort of censorship resistant money has such a great opportunity to, you know, be integrated in, you know, sports betting and just, you know, a payment method in general. And I think it's super exciting and cool what you guys are doing.
Yeah. And I appreciate what you just said. And you know, for us at Nitro, and I saw it at other companies, and you're spot on even to this very day. And that's why I still think, you know, this having a crypto or a Bitcoin sports book is so important, because the approval rates on credit cards, even to this day in this industry, are maybe 50%. So it's hard to get your money in, and it's even harder to get your money out. And keep in mind, one of the things that also separated Nitro from, I think, a lot of other people is that we allowed anonymous betting. So, you know, we don't do KYC. So we stick with that Bitcoin mentality, where customers, we're not at, for your money in or money out, we're not asking you for documentation. You just have to have the two-factor authorization and a valid email that's been verified. So that also helps people. But yeah, over the years, we've seen people in your situation because of the seasonality, right? So we're obviously mostly facing US and Canada. We do have a lot of players from Europe and Asia, but mostly US and Canada. So the seasonality after NFL ends, really, a lot of people just did what you did. They left their money in their account. And when they logged in for football season, you know, the following year, they saw that appreciation in their money. So, yeah, we grew, our coffers grew as well, but so did the players.
Yeah, and I don't speak for other people. Everyone's got their own, you know, if you like to bet on sports, you know, your unit size, whatever. I'm only speaking for me personally here, but as somebody that has, you know, bet sports, you know, obviously recreationally, you know, we're not talking about crazy amounts of money. I like to just make the game more interesting. When you do it and you denominate it in Bitcoin, it actually makes the stakes feel a bit higher. Like, I don't know, there's something, especially as a Bitcoiner, where you feel like when you're winning Bitcoin and you're getting Bitcoin back, it's just a way different vibe than when you use, you know, most of these sites, you know, like DraftKings, whatever, and it's all dollar denominated. It's a different rush. It's a different kick, so to speak. So I definitely think, yeah, if you're a Bitcoiner and you're a sports fan, it's a fun thing to do recreationally, of course.
I couldn't agree more. And I think coming into this 2024 year, that, you know, especially going into Q3 and Q4, we've got a lot of unique plans that are that are based around Bitcoin, but they're contests that are going to be on the site. I'm even looking into some casino games that are strictly Bitcoin games. So again, very unique niche, but I'm excited about what we're going to be launching here in 2024.
Yeah, the last thing I'll say is, and then I'll let Alan jump in here, is that John, you just released one of my like favorite non-KYC secrets, because everyone knows all the different non-KYC. You just leaked it. I was like, oh no, it's going to become more well known. But it's always went in my head. I was like, you know, you can get non-KYC Bitcoin by, you know, betting. I mean, there's risk, of course, because you have to actually, you know, win your wagers, but it is non-KYC. But I guess the secret is out.
The secret is out. Look, you know, we're relaunching our affiliate program, and we've got a fantastic affiliate manager heading that up. And we're going to, with a brand new platform, we're actually going to be in London in about 2 weeks for a convention. And, you know, just spreading the word, you know, again, there are other Bitcoin books out there, but not many are doing what we do. Again, especially with the anonymous betting, that kind of isolates us and puts us in a different field. And again, you do have to win, like you said, but we also, we do check IPs, obviously, but at the same time, we're not asking you to reveal who you are. We just need a valid email and two-factor authorization, so we know that you actually have, you're not using a Skype or a burner phone or anything like that. So we know you're a real person and we send you your money. The great thing is this, you know, as we're trying to explore even right now, as I mentioned, with different payment options, you know, we're exploring the Lightning Network. So if we can get a faster payout, I mean, there was a point where we were paying customers on average 7 minutes. You put your request in and we paid you in 7 minutes. I don't know many other places that are doing that. So, and again, anonymously. So that I'm proud of.
My fellow plebs, River has become the Bitcoin exchange of choice amongst the Bitcoin community and a trusted partner of Bitcoin Magazine. At river.com, you can purchase Bitcoin with no fees when you dollar cost average. Plus, you can now have peace of mind knowing River holds Bitcoin in multi-sig cold storage with 100% full reserves, letting you withdraw to self-custody at any time. And what truly sets River apart is they built their own infrastructure from the ground up, so they don't rely on third-party custodians. Over the last few months, we have seen how important that is. River also offers a hosted mining service, which allows you to mine Bitcoin at one of their hosted facilities in the United States. Get daily Bitcoin deposits directly into your River account without the hassle. River has a client services team that is US-based and available by phone. Develop your own personal point of contact with River Private Client and let them be your gateway to Bitcoin for your personal or business account. There's a new standard in Bitcoin, and River is setting it. See why at river.com or on the River iOS app.
I'm by no means a DJ and sports bettor similar to D, but I always love listening to D's energy talking about some of the bets he's placing on a weekly basis. I know he's super passionate about it. But, you know, one of the things that caught my ear that D was mentioning is that he got into Bitcoin out of necessity, right? You know, he had this, you know, thing he liked to do with sports betting, needed to get paid out. You know, Bitcoin was the solution. We've heard this story like time and time again. It's a very common story. Silk Road, you know, there's a lot of like Silk Road parallels and, you know, other necessities like that. And then I know, John, you kind of mentioned early on that, you know, Nitro Betting kind of identified this solution to a problem. And you did this all the way back in 2012, which is even crazier, you know. We talk a lot about companies getting onto like a Bitcoin standard, and so many are struggling. And we're talking about companies that aren't engaged in, you know, the sports betting world, which has its own whole set of like regulations and things that they have to abide to, which I'm not envious at all about having to follow. But I'm just kind of curious to hear, you know, Nitro Betting being the first, having done this all the way back in 2012, kind of like some of the hurdles you guys have had to cross and like make it happen. Obviously you've had success, right? You know, it's been over 10 going on to 12 years of being able to like operate on this Bitcoin standard. What are some lessons that you've learned that you know could maybe transpire to like, you know, other companies, not necessarily sports gambling related? And you know, kind of where do you see the future of you know, this quote unquote Bitcoin standard for companies?
That's a great question. So I think it all starts with one thing, and I do this in a lot of my meetings with the staff, especially most recently. You know, you always focus on the customer, and if you focus on the customer, and I do this in meetings, and I've heard this, and I think I picked this up in a book somewhere, but in a lot of my meetings, I'll put a chair in the corner of the room, and that chair represents the customer. So even though we may be in the sports betting industry, you know, you're still dealing with thousands of customers every week, and some are creating friction, you know, and I'm always, no matter what we're doing. And again, this may be in the sports book industry, but this could be for retail. This could be for any type of business that you're in. You always focus back on the customer, and then you work your way backwards to see what kind of friction was created. For us, knowing that credit cards create a lot of friction, right? It could create problems for the banks, for the customer with the bank. Again, I heard somebody mention ACH, as I brought up earlier, you know, some not even accepting the checks, you know. So again, sticking with Bitcoin and knowing we're sending that to you within minutes. Again, 7 minutes was our target, and we're a little slower than that right now, but we're going to head back that way shortly. But, you know, focusing on the customer and seeing what are the pain points, addressing those pain points and making it as friction-free as possible. That's some of the things. So if I was running a regular e-commerce company, a regular retail company, some of the things I'd focus on, yes, I'd be pushing heavy on payments in Bitcoin, That's number one. Number two, I'd be taking advantage of AI. I'd be taking advantage of bots. Customers don't want to talk to actual agents anymore. They don't, 20 years ago, maybe, but now they don't want that. They want automation. So the quicker they can get their money in to make a purchase at a retail store online or at a sports book, it doesn't matter. It's the same thing. Create a friction-free process. Make it so that there's no hurdles and no issues as far as getting the money to them if you need to pay people. If I was in retail, again, making sure that you have a quick response time to their questions, because what I found in the Bitcoin niche is that the customers tend to be a little bit younger than the traditional. But what I've noticed even more is that the customers, they're quicker and their span of attention is shorter. They want their answers quick. And if you don't have those answers for them, or if they can't find it in an FAQ or in a help center as quick as they want to, they'll go look somewhere else. So one of the things that I've definitely learned, and with my staff, I've made it a point, is to make our site as friction-free as possible. And I think that's related to literally anybody that owns a business online. So, you know, for me, never forget who the customer is. Work your way back from the customer. Work backwards. Remove roadblocks for the customer. And literally, if you can go crypto as possible, as much crypto as possible, stay away from the credit cards, that would be my recommendation. Who wants to pay 5, 6, 7, 8% in fees when you can just go crypto and go Bitcoin? It makes all the sense in the world. If I was starting my own retail business, that's what I would be doing as well. So I don't know if that answers your question. I hope it does.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, especially in terms of, like, you know, the customer here being, you know, the focus being said Bitcoiners. I know Nitro Betting's got, like, a number of, like, Bitcoin-focused betting lines, some of which, you know, are closely kind of tied to the ETF. Diddy, I don't know if you've had a chance to, like, look at some of those lines.
Oh, dude, I've got them up my screen right now. three steps ahead of you. And I did want to talk about a few of them. Now, John, I don't know what the limits are on these. I'm guessing they're pretty low. And I'm not saying that to throw shade, only because
No.
I feel like when you have these sort of, like, any future outcomes that people bet on where somebody could have some inside information, you got to protect your book, right? So you're not going to be hanging out numbers with high limits. But the one that jumped out at me is, and I think these are still maybe on the board, is, the ones about a country making Bitcoin legal tender. I think the no right now I saw is at, like, -175, which is, like, for the people listening, what that even means. That's a kind of implied probability of, I think, around 66-70%. So you would say that, you know, if you think there's, between 60-70% chance that, you know, that doesn't happen, if you think it's way higher than that, you would pound that bet. And I was just thinking, I was like, I don't think there's any country that's going to be making Bitcoin legal tender. And I'm not saying this as a Bitcoin bear. I'm just very bearish on other companies beyond, or other countries beyond El Salvador actually doing that, before the halving, let alone before this year. I mean, it probably won't happen to me, I think, for years to come. So that was one that definitely jumped out at me. And then what's interesting about the halving is it looks like the odds are kind of coalescing around the price of $50,000 is kind of where, I guess, the market is sort of, like, you know, like honing down on in terms of, you know, what the price is going to be at that time.
So you're spot on. Well, first of all, you know, just to address, you know, so these are props, right? For anybody in the audience that's not familiar with betting, propositional bets are more for fun, for entertainment. You most of you have heard them probably for the Super Bowl, where people will bet on the coin toss or how long the national anthem song is going to be. There's literally thousands of bets that go up, but they're all propositional, and there is a max, right? So typically for these, you know, I think I said, if I'm not mistaken, I said it at about $100 max. But I might go up to 200 as far as the max payout on any of these prop bets for Bitcoin. I do agree with you in regards to any country making it legal tender. between November 1st and the halving. You know, I don't see it happening before the halving. I know El Salvador is an exception. You know, I've talked to a couple brilliant minds, Argentina with their new president. You know, who knows what they what he can do once he's inaugurated. But again, that being minus 179 currently, yeah, you know, you, it, I don't want the idea is not for you to, you know, unload your bankroll on a prop bet. It's just a fun entertainment bet. That's the whole purpose of these right here. But there's obviously different options, and you're spot on as well. I don't know if you read my notes, but basically, yeah, the average right now for the guesses that we've seen, and we're approaching, I think, around 3,000 guesses, if I'm not mistaken, but we're seeing it hover between the high 40s and the low 50,000 range as far as the halving price. But I'm even seeing, you know, from my data, I can see guesses as low as 15,000 and as high as over 100,000. I personally don't see it going that high before that for the halving, but I think the consensus right now from the public is between mid 40s and low 50s.
Yeah, and for anyone else who wants to submit their guess, feel free to go to bitcoinhalving.com. We have the link pinned up in the nest here, but you can submit a guess on what you think the price of Bitcoin will be at the halving. And you know, it's completely free to do so. So a really good way to pick up some super cheap sats if you're so inclined. But and John, kind of when you were talking about, you know, how in your meetings you have a chair in the room that's, you know, sitting empty, and that's the customer. And that's, I think, really why we're so excited to do this with you guys here at Bitcoin Magazine, is our readers want Bitcoin. Like, at the end of the day, like, that's what, I mean, I would say, like, motivates 99% of people that are in the space, is like, that's their motivating factor right there. And I think, you know, we're really happy to be able to offer this opportunity to our customers. And, you know, say that price does continue to run up, you know, that one Bitcoin could be, you know, a really great way for someone to pick up some cheap sats, you know, for free. So we're really stoked about that. So yeah, for anyone who's interested, you know, feel free to click up in the nest. We'll have it in the description as well once we upload this to our podcast feed too.
And John, and then, I was curious, I was just curious, like, when you are, you know, trying to, like, I'm just curious, like, what is the process a little bit, you know, how is the sausage made as it relates to when you're trying to book this kind of action? Like, if you have to, like, open up a number, right, you know, around something like this, around the price of Bitcoin on a, you know, a date that actually isn't really defined, it's all, you know, it's not driven by a calendar date, it's driven by a block being mined. Like, what is the method to the madness to sort of try to, like, open a number of what you think that is? Is it talking, I mean, you mentioned you talked to some experts, things like that. Is it really just doing some research, soliciting some brilliant minds, and coming up with what you feel like is a number that kind of, you know, is somewhere that opens where, I guess this is a compound question. I'm also always curious, you know, is the book always just trying to get balanced action and then collects just like a VIG, or do books actually do try to take their own side? I've always heard people suspect that books try to do that. I never bought into it because there's no reason for them to do that. The math should be in their favor in the long run. But sorry, I know that's a compound question there. I guess maybe start with like what is the process on how you open a number for some a contest like this?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. And I'll start with the first part, and then I'll finish off with the second. So yeah, so basically, you know, when we start, you know, after the meeting in Amsterdam, and, you know, multiple meetings, you know, you're talking a nice round table. So obviously with the Bitcoin Magazine team, you know, they're on our TV, and we have the team here for Nitro, and we're just, you know, brainstorming different ideas. And then I go to my team, I have my lines managers, and so they're going to book the odds, right? Obviously, they're going to book them in the house's favor. But at the same time, we want, you know, for me, everything is data driven. And, you know, I tell people, you know, I can make a decision with 60, 70% enough of the data that I feel confident enough. So based off, as I saw the guesses coming in, I know the contest is not over, but as I'm getting, you know, the guesses coming in, I have enough data for me to go ahead and make a judgment call as far as, okay, what do the odds look like as far as hitting 100,000, right? Which is the first line that we had up. Obviously, not very realistic if you look at it right now, as far as being over 100K, the odds are plus 523, but under 100K, obviously minus 1,000. Now, the payout on that on minus 1,000 is not going to be that great, but that's why we made the other bets, right? So you have the price of the halving at 50K. What does that look like? For over 50K, is that, that's actually the favorite. So right now, it's trending towards a little over 50K at minus 137. And again, what I did is just keep going down. So for this specific event, is I started at 100, went down to 50, 40, then 30,000 being where I thought was, based off of the data I was seeing, was the lower range, right? So obviously anyone who thinks that the lines at the halving, the price is going to be less than 30,000, well, right now that line is not favorable. It's plus 329, but over 30,000 is minus 500. So it's a decent bet. You know, if you want, if you're looking again to have fun, and you, again, it's not like you're getting the payouts crazy, but you have those different right there. So again, everything that we take is data based. So if we build and we're putting up a contest or we're putting up a new lines for, let's say, this weekend's games, right? So we have the championship games for, you know, both the NFC and the AFC coming up. It's literally looking at the public trends. Looking at what other competitors' lines are seeing, knowing obviously the health, right? So, for example, you know, things that I, that for me relating to Bitcoin and this contest, other things I looked at, I wanted to tie it to, you know, in previous predictions, right? So, macro liquidity, right? So, if I look at the macro liquidity, I want to look at it basically like a stock to flow mentality, supply and demand. So, if we know there's going to be lower supply, is that going to drive up the demand and the price? In my opinion, yes. So again, I'm using that mental model as part of it. The other thing I'm thinking about as I'm talking to my lines guys and putting this together, you know, the impact that the Federal Reserve is going to have. If they make a statement, if they come out with a press release, whatever it may be, how does that affect the price as we get closer to the halving? So again, all those things are factored in, just like I would for any sport. So again, I'm not a lines manager. You know, I run the company, but my team I sit with, and we have obviously our weekly cadences, and these are topics that we go over. So we're looking at the public. We're looking in the case this weekend, right? If there's a player who's an impact player in one of the football games, and they're not going to be playing because they're injured, obviously that's going to change the odds. We saw over the past few weeks, for those of you that live in the States, we saw people that literally won and bet the under big time because of the weather. The weather was a factor, right? So if it was going to be snow with ice and cold, you know, like we saw in Buffalo and a couple other places, that impacted the over-under, the totals. So all that happens, and it happens quickly. So I would expect to see some of these odds on the Bitcoin pricing here that you have here at Nitro. They're going to change maybe to one favor or another as we get closer in March. Again, but that's where we have more, maybe a little more security on what, thinking what the price is going to be. So again, booking it now, if I'm a customer, I'm going to probably want to book it now if I have a good feeling on what it is. And I can see through the chat here, you know, people popping in a bunch of different, you know, guesses themselves. I'll just remind you, go to the BitcoinHalvingContest.com. Remember, you do have to have an account at Nitro, because in order for us to pay you part of the prize pool, you have to have a valid account with Nitro. So I just want to throw that reminder out there. There was one part of the question I didn't answer. Can you repeat that? What is the last part that you forgot, that you asked me?
No, I think the secondary part was around like, like in terms of, I know you mentioned you're not the odds maker, but is there validity to sort of the perception that, you know, when people are setting lines, like is the book, you know, Nitro Betting in this case, taking a stance and trying to sort of like, you know, win that side, or are they really just trying to draw even money, right? And then, you know, there's a slight vig, and that's obviously how the book operates. But yeah, there any validity to that?
That's a great question. So for propositional betting and for props like this, I'm not looking to make any money off this. This is more for entertainment purposes. In general, though, you know, a sports book as an operation, you know, and I don't think I'm giving away any government secrets here or any sports book secrets. You know, in general, if the week ends and the hold percentage for the sports, and I'm only talking sports alone, is anywhere between 3 and 4%, typically the sports book is happy. They did well. So a 3 or 4% hold is not, it doesn't seem like a great number when you just say it, but when you look at the big picture, as far as the amount of volume, when you talk about handle, that's what sportsbooks take. So you have, let's say, $1 million in handle on a certain game, and you still, and you walk away with, let's say, 4 or 5% hold, that's still pretty good money on one game. Then multiply that on all the games and all the different sports and all the different offerings, right? So again, the sportsbooks are not, they're making the VIG, obviously the vigorish, if you're not familiar with the term, they are. But at the same time, for prop bets, it's more for that entertainment. It's the same thing, you know, if you were to take part in any of our contests that we offer. For me, the mindset that I have, I'm not looking to make money on any of these contests. To be honest and very transparent, I hope to give away money and people enjoy it, and then they come back and play more. That's my idea with the contests. It's more to get the people engaged throughout the week and then come back on the weekends and bet NFL if they want to bet NFL or any other sports on the weekends. Same thing with having a casino. I offer tournaments throughout the week so that people want to have something to do to keep them busy. It's just entertainment, and then they come back for the betting on the weekends. But really, again, most sports books, if they're done properly, are not doing it from a greedy standpoint. They're doing it literally for that VIG, to walk away from that 4% hold. They're perfectly content.
Well, and one question I also had is that, you know, Nitro Betting is very unique because you guys are just a Bitcoin book entirely. I'm just curious, like, what sports are Bitcoiners into? I wonder if it varies at much differently from, you know, the general population that doesn't bet with Bitcoin. I'm guessing they're probably the same, but I'm just wondering from your experience, are Bitcoiners into something that's a little bit different? I'm just curious. Yeah, what sports are the Bitcoiners betting?
So I'll say a couple of things that evolved, especially throughout the pandemic. Bitcoiners, and I know conventional sports were doing it, but we did it here at Nitro as well, where we literally had a room set up with PlayStations. Because live sports wasn't happening at the same rate that we would have liked, we didn't see full seasons, we created, and a lot of other companies did as well, where you were basically betting on the outcome of, let's say, FIFA or NBA 2K on literally on the PlayStation. So we had it on auto mode, and literally we would put up odds, and it would blow you away with the amount of action that we were taking just on simulated games. But another thing that I can say that Bitcoiners love, I think it's more tied to the demographic. They're huge with esports. So I would say Nitro Esports is probably bigger than the conventional sports book. So definitely, to answer your question, esports is definitely a niche. It's one that we have a decent hold in, but overall volume is probably much higher than the average sports book in esports. We also, though, I will say, from a traditional standpoint, American football still is what it reigns supreme. It's the king. It's the king of all the sports. It's what we market for. It's what we get ready for. And basically, right now is my high season. Everything I'm doing and all the decisions I'm making between now and August is all for NFL season. But right now, literally everything I've been doing these past months is for the kickoff of esports. So those are the two for the Bitcoiners out there. And then obviously I can say for sure that Bitcoiners love to play casino. They love to play blackjack, and they love to play slots. I can definitely say that with certainty.
Well, John, really, really appreciate you sharing your experience running a Bitcoin sportsbook. I think it's a really unique spot for Nitro to be in, having been, first of all, so early to Bitcoin and having that necessity for Bitcoin being in this industry. I mean, like you said, there are so many parallels between, you know, Bitcoin and the online betting industry. But I think it just kind of highlights, you know, also the benefits that Bitcoin it can bring to companies. I know you guys are talking about integrating the Lightning Network. I know, you know, there's probably some people here listening now that are familiar with companies that offer those services. And so, you know, highly recommend you guys just reach out to Nitro and see if there's any connections there. I know y'all are just connected in the industry as well. So just a good opportunity for people to, you know, increase Bitcoin adoption, if nothing else. But just also want to encourage everyone, like the Bitcoin Halving Challenge, we're giving away a Bitcoin in prizes. Go submit your guess, no cost to you guys. And you know, there's huge upside there. So, you know, I don't see why you wouldn't do that. But before we close out, John, I just kind of want to give you an opportunity. If there's anything else on your mind, do you have any maybe hot takes on the conference championships taking place this weekend? I know, D, you're a big sports ball guy, so feel free to let it rip. But I think this has been a really good conversation.
Yeah, well, first of all, Spencer, I just want to thank you for allowing us the space. And I know there's been a lot of behind the scenes work, the meetings, the contacts, the chats back and forth. But I think it's been well worth it. We're proud to be the sponsored book, partnering with you. And I'm looking forward to giving away this money, right? I think you are as well. So from that standpoint, thank you to the Bitcoin Magazine team and everybody that was able to join the call. Yeah, I mean, right now, just to anybody that's interested for this weekend, you know, right now the Ravens are favored over the Kansas City Chiefs. And looking right now that the public is, I would say, the over-under around 44.5. It's about split. And then if I look at the Detroit Lions, who apparently has become America's team, unfortunately, they're not the favorite for the game, although I do think that many people will bet them to cover. Right now, the San Francisco 49ers, it's pretty much a loaded team, minus 370. So they're definitely, from a money line standpoint, they're definitely the favorite. And it's looking like the over-under is going to finish around 51, maybe 51 and a half. So we'd love to have your action. I wish I had a play for fun. For those of you that don't like to bet, we don't have play for fun there. But definitely come check us out. And again, the Bitcoin Magazine team, thank you so much for this opportunity in this space.
Thanks, John. Always a pleasure chatting with you.
Yeah, thank you so much, John. Appreciate it. And Dee and Alan, thank you both for hopping up here. Dee, it was really cool hearing your experience with, you know, your Bitcoin origin story. I didn't know that about you, so that's learned something new every day there.
Yeah, and all good. This has been a lot of fun. Yeah, John, great talking to you here today. I wish I had a hot take kind of bet right now. I know it's being recorded, it's going to get memorialized, so I hate to be wrong. So tail at your own risk, but if I had to take a bet on this weekend's game, I would go Ravens, and I would take an alternative line. I actually think the Ravens are going to roll the Chiefs pretty good. I think the Ravens have got a really great defense, and the Chiefs coming off a big emotional win against Bills, I think it's a good letdown spot. I think a lot of people love the Chiefs right now. They got the whole Taylor Swift army behind them, but the dream ends this Sunday. And I think yeah, the Ravens' current line is about -3.5. I see Nitro Betting has alternative point spreads where you can actually make the line more aggressive, and I would do that for better payout. So I'm saying alternative line, Baltimore Ravens, -4.5. We will see if I'm eating crow, no pun intended, on Monday morning. But that is what I would roll with.
Nice. Yeah, it could, again, get your bets in. I think that the line might tighten a little bit on the Chiefs game. I like, if I'm going to go for a pick, I think Detroit covers. I like that personally. Right, yeah, now,
I'm a Niners fan, so the only reason why I'm staying away from that game, because I've got enough emotional investment in that one. So I'm looking at the other one.
Well, you just gave the public a tip. Never bet with your heart. Never bet with emotions.
I've been doing this for too long, but it's a lot of fun.
Indeed.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much, guys. And thank you, everyone, for tuning in to another episode of Bitcoin Magazine Twitter Spaces. Look forward to seeing y'all soon. And again, thanks to the Nitro team for putting on the Bitcoin Halving Challenge with us. Been a lot of fun. Curious to see how it plays out. Things are heating up. Peace, guys.
Thank you.